Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin, Sanhedrin 37a, pagination is 73. We'll start on the facing page, towards the bottom, Masnisin, about 8 lines up. Sanhedrin, the court, Hoysa Kachatzi Goren Agula, was designed in a semicircle, Kadeshihu Roim Ze'ezeh, so that the judges can see one another, and the people would present in front of the Sanhedrin, but the Sanhedrin themselves were not linear in the way they sat. They sat in a curved form. V'shalosh shuro shal tamidei chachamim yoshvim lefneihem, and before them there were three rows of scholars, kol echad ve'echad makires mekomo, each one knew his place. It was not random that they were just part of the backups and they just sat down wherever it was, but there was a specific seating arrangement according to who was on deck, so to speak, if a replacement judge was needed. Now, Rashi, at the top of the Amud, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, explains what the significance of these three rows was. And Rashi explains that really they only needed 48 additional standby judges. And the reasoning was as follows. The court starting out to try a capital case was 23. Sometimes, let's paint a specific scenario where additional judges are needed. This is not even replacement judges. It's just straightforward. We need to expand the court. If they voted and there was a majority saying he's guilty, but we have a rule that you can't find a person guilty in a capital case unless there's a majority of more than one. Just one is not sufficient. So we would be mosif, we would add judges, two at a time, always keeping the court in an odd number, and you would keep adding until either he's found innocent, or if he's being found guilty by a majority of one, we're going to continue adding until, as we said, either he's found innocent, because both of those people vote innocent, or we get the majority of two or more that we were waiting for to find the accused guilty. If you'll do the math, moving up from the number 23 all the way to the largest court possible in our discussions, which is 71, so there's a gap there of 48 potential additional judges. And says Rashi, we didn't have a way to line them up evenly other than to move all the way to three rows of 23. We really need 48, so we could have done two rows of 24, but you're not going to make a row of the students that's greater than the row of the real judges, which is 23. So we had to move on to a third row. And we're not going to just have two judges in the third row. And therefore, we went to three full rows of 23. What would happen if indeed they needed additional judges, perhaps one of the judges got sick or whatever, and we need to pull from the students? These students, keep in mind, are great scholars in their own right. Hutzruchu lismoch, if they need to grant ordination and to raise one of them, somchem min harishona, they grant the ordination to someone in the first row, the first eligible person, the prioritized person. And therefore, echad min Hashaniya, someone from the second row, Bala Lurishona, is going to come to the first row, is going to get promoted. Echad min Hashlishis, Bala Lashaniya. Now there are only 22 in the second row, so one of people in the third row is going to get promoted to the second row. Borin Lohen Od Echad min Akal, and they choose another person from the general population who's worthy. Umoshivin Oso Bishlishis, and they put him in the third row so that we're back to symmetry of rows of 23. Now, the Mishnah concludes, V'lo haya yoshe b'mikomo shorishon, that new person doesn't simply take the place of the person who was promoted to be on the court, the person from the first row. Ela yoshe b'mikomo ra'oi lo, he goes to the seat that's appropriate for him, because the newcomer is considered the lowest ranking in the system, and everything was kept in order so that everybody moved over a seat to the more prestigious location, the more on-deck location to be chosen to be part of the court. There's another piece of Gemara on today's daf which I'd like to mention. Counting up from the wide lines, four lines, Suga Bashoshanim, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that describes a fence of roses. Says the Gemara, Sha'afilo sugo shel shoshanim, even if what separates us from prohibition is merely a fence of roses, lo yifritzu bohen piratzos, we will not breach it. And this is true whether it's a ruling from the Sanhedrin of what not to do, or, as we'll see in a moment, an actual test in life, a challenging situation that the people remain moral to the ideals of Torah. There was a person who was asking in a provocative way against Torah to Rav Kana, and he said, Amrisu nida Shari li Yehudei Bahadei Gavra, are you really telling me that a Nida, a man's wife, who's prohibited to him at that time of the cycle, that they're allowed to be B'Yichud, they're allowed to be in the same room, closeted together, they're allowed to lock the door in their own bedroom? It's Yichud. Efshar Eish bin Ha'oris Ve'ina Mehav Heves. Do you really think that you have fire, meaning the sensual drive, b'ne'ores, by flax or chips of kindling, ve'ena mehav heves, and it's not going to singe? It's so prone to such activity. The drive is so great. How can you allow yichud? Interesting, and this often happens, that the person who's being provocative against Torah is not saying leniencies, but he's claiming that we're being too lenient, which on some level is that he's trying to claim that we're hypocrites. You're so worried about yichud, and then you allow husband and wife to be closeted in the same place. Amalei, Rav Kana responded, Atorah hi'ida aleinu. The Torah says testimony about us, suga bashoshanim, as even a fence of roses. Shafilu suga bashoshanim lo yifritzu hem piratzos. They do not breach it. And we have different halachas, but there's a halacha concept of nida, is that it will be something that's mutter. It will be permitted. She will go to mikvah. And therefore, during the off time, they live together as husband and wife, but obviously with the harchakos, with the restrictions on intimacy. Reish Lakish Amar Meihacha, Reish Lakish said a different pasuk, but the same principle, a famous analogy, Kefelech harimon rakoseich afilu reikonin shebucha melea mitzvos karimon, the comparison to a pomegranate. On the outside, it looks smooth. You can never tell. But you open it up, even rakoseich, the empty ones, the ones who do not seem to be meritorious as people, they're also filled with mitzvos like a pomegranate, and there are halachas, and we observe those halachas, and we go without concern that indeed the husband and wife do stay together even at the time of prohibition, because Suga Bashoshanim, we know that they will observe. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.